As the curtain rises and the scene opens, the audience is introduced to the story's protagonist, Tevye. And as he breaks into song, he points to his small Russian village and says, "Here in Anatevka, we have traditions for everything." He sings, "Tradition, tradition, tradition." Anyways, Tevye sings tradition repeatedly. And then joined by others in the village, they sing about the tradition that govern their roles, the traditions that govern their roles in their culture. The papas, the mamas, the sons, and the daughters all know their places. Traditions help them to keep their balance. And at the end of the opening number, Tevye says, "Traditions, traditions. Without traditions, our lives would be as shaky as a fiddler on the roof." How many of you have seen that, either live or the movie version? And as the story continues, we watch Tevye struggle to maintain the traditions of a Jewish man in Russia in the early 1900s. As a father of five daughters, he finds them challenging their roles, the roles set for women in their culture. They want to be educated, and they want to choose their own husbands, of all things. The song reprises two more times throughout the musical as Tevye tries to hold on to his balance through tradition. Traditions have that kind of importance. They help us keep our balance. They tie us to the past. They help us to maintain memory, and they provide a structure for the future. Traditions are things about what we about which we might say, "This is how we do it," or "This is the way we have always done this." And traditions could be millennia old, as we will see this morning, or they could be like with my children. If we did something twice, it became a tradition. And dare I not mess with tradition? Here are some of the traditions that we have. We, all of us, have different kinds of food traditions. Some of us have a state fair tradition. How many of you are state fair aficionados or fans? It's not that many. You come with me. The state fair, people have their foods that they eat at the fair. If you're going to the fair, someone would say, "What are you going to eat?" Because people have their things. I have friends who have a state fair tradition where they go and buy several big bags of mini donuts, and then they stand in the lawn behind the mini donut stand, and they throw them into the air and catch them in their mouths. That is a food tradition. And I did learn that even if they drop them on the grass, they pick them up and try again. Maybe you have traditional meals that you eat for certain occasions, or perhaps a dinner prayer or blessing that you speak before you eat a meal. We have traditions around travel and leisure. In my family, in the Costin family, we have been going to a resort in northern Minnesota for as long as I've been married, and Jeff's family did that since he was 8 years old. So they have been going north. We do it every single year, and we've never missed a year. That is a tradition for us. Ceremonies that we have lots of tradition. When there's a graduation, students wear a cap and a gown, and you always hear the song "Pomp and Circumstance." Weddings are steeped in tradition, from the clothing that people wear to the way they have flowers and the vows that are spoken. We have traditions about special events and days in our lives. Perhaps you have special birthday traditions, a plate that you use for the birthday boy or girl, or perhaps a song that you sing on a birthday. I don't know if you have one of those. Or maybe sending cards. This church has a tradition of sending a birthday card to everyone every single month. And if you don't get a card, go ahead and drop off your name in the office, and you will get one. I have friends that have first and last day of school traditions. On the first day of school, I know a family where they made the kids breakfast in bed before they headed off to the first day. My favorite are friends who, on the last day of school, the parents get all the other parents in the neighborhood, and they wait till the kids get off the bus, and they bombard them with water balloons. And then there are traditions around holidays. On the 4th of July, we see fireworks. We dress up for Easter. Maybe we have Easter egg hunts. Maybe there are specific meals or dishes you eat for holidays. Turkey and stuffing on Thanksgiving, oyster stew on Christmas Eve, and lutefisk, I don't know why. Perhaps you have the tradition at Christmas of reading the Christmas story together, driving somewhere to cut down a tree. Maybe you drink champagne on New Year's Eve, or you make sure you stay up for the countdown. Maybe you pass out candy on Halloween for trick-or-treaters. But today is even a weird holiday called Groundhog's Day, and there are traditions around this day. And of course, in the church, for people of faith, of all faiths, we have our own traditions that come through religious practices. So on week 4 of our Holy Road series, today is the way of tradition. And we're thinking about how we encounter God the way that our ancestors did, or the way that others who have come before us have encountered God. We're thinking about encountering God through familiar rituals and symbols, things that help us keep our balance. So way, way back in the Bible, God ordained rituals and practices for his people to follow. These were things that were meant to help them remember. The traditions would help them remember the things that God had done, remember their own identity, remember how to draw near to Yahweh, and more. Our spiritual ancestors had traditions that they handed down through generations. And one of the many, many examples of this is found in Deuteronomy chapter 6. So here's the context of this. It's Moses speaking here. And in the previous chapter, Moses has reminded the people of God of the covenant that God has made with them, that God had made years and years and years before with their ancestor Abraham. And the covenant includes commandments that they are to follow. In chapter 5, Moses reiterates 10 of them, the big 10, that tell them how to live with God and one another. And then chapter 6 begins, and Moses says this: "These are the commands, decrees, and the laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe. To teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it might go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you." Moses is describing the law as something that's been given to them. You get this picture that God gave it to them as a gift. And this gift of the law has not changed, and it will not change when they move into now the promised land, when they finally occupy the place they've been waiting for. And this law outlines the best way to live and the best way to enjoy God's promises for a long life, for a growing community, and for God's provision. And then he speaks some words whose repetition have become a tradition still practiced every day today. And it begins like this: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." This short verse is the opening to a prayer that was taught to the people of God by Moses, which is still prayed twice a day by devout adherents to Judaism. These words declare that Yahweh is God, the God of the past and the present and the future. This prayer is called the Shema, and it goes on to say this: "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." This proclamation of the one God moves on to describe what it looks like to love God. God, we've learned that God loves us, and this is a way to love back. Love is this commitment of the covenant that seeks the joy of the other and includes one's whole person. So Moses says, you're to love the Lord with your heart, where your emotions and your will come from. To love the Lord with your soul, which is the life force within you, with your whole person. And to love the Lord with your strength. This means in the original, with your power, both physical and other resources that you have. Everything that you claim as your own, use that to love the Lord. Excuse me. This language of loving God with one's whole self is passed on. Excuse me. This is not a traditional thing to happen. cough drop in my mouth. But, all right, here we go. Language of loving God with your whole self is passed down on and on, century after century. And so the commands are remembered. Moses gives them these rituals and symbols as forms of a tradition that can be passed down from generation to generation. We're going to put the words to this next part on the screen, and I'm just going to have you guys read them aloud together. All right? These commandments... This all-encompassing love for God is more than just an intellectual assent. It's more than just feeling. Nothing is left out. And it's evidenced in remembering and keeping the commands. So Moses is giving them these traditions, these things that move from just the inward feeling or sense of love of God and the outward expression of that God. And the tradition comes in ritual and symbols. So in this passage, we see the rituals that Moses says you're going to continue to teach them to the next generation. Faith is something that should be taught in the home, and which means everyone is a teacher and sharer of the law and bearer of the word. He says part of the ritual is to talk about them, to have your language be focused on God, not just speaking about God or the commands or the law in the temple, but throughout the course of the day. He says at home, when you're outside, when you're up, and when you're lying down and when you're waking up, this repetition of prayers happens throughout the day, every day. It's part of the ritual of remembering. And the tradition encompasses also symbols. He gives them these pictures and physical things to remind them of who they are. He says, tie them on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. A better translation probably would be tie them on your arms. And it speaks to prayer boxes that were made that one would wear on their arm or on their forehead with the words, these very words that we just read written on them. The words of the Shema could be worn and the symbol would remind someone, Yahweh is with me. I am to follow God. It might be today like tying a string around your finger to remember something or wearing symbolic jewelry that helps you remember who you are or the things that God has done for you. Maybe it's setting a watch alarm to remind you to pray throughout the day. So there's these symbols to remind people, and he says, on your body, and then he says, write them on the door frames and gates, on the door frame to your house, he says, which would remind you that Yahweh dwells here. It shows that you worship God. There is your allegiance. And as you enter and exit your home, you're reminded of the God who goes with. He says, put this on the gates of the city. This is about the whole community. Gates were often the places where legal court was held. So it would be a reminder that everything that takes place in the city takes place in the presence and the name of God. Today, modern day Jewish people keep a mezuzah on a door frame. It's a holder of the scrolls that contain the Shema. They keep pointing them back to this tradition that has been passed on for thousands of years. This is one example of the kind of traditions that help God's people experience God. There's all kinds of different things that God says throughout the Bible. But these practices become traditions that get handed down century after century and are still meaningful to God's people. Repetition sparks memory as traditions and rituals and symbols get replayed and done over and over again as a means of passing on the faith. We carry traditions. We have traditions in the church that come all the way from the ancient Hebrew scripture, like we read today. We have traditions that come from the New Testament. We have traditions that come from the church history. We have denominational traditions. We have Bloomington Covenant Church traditions. And you have your own traditions of how you encounter God. The way of tradition is experiencing God through ritual and symbols that have been passed down. This way helps us keep our balance. Our traditions connect us to the past. They give us a structure for worship and experiencing God today, and they provide a path for the future. Here's some examples of how we do tradition. One is music. And old music is what people tend to think of as traditional music. So today we have sung three hymns, and some of our music is really old. We sang O Worship the King that was written in the late 1700s. We sang Praise to the Lord, Praise to the Lord the Almighty, words somewhere in the middle of the 1600s, and music also. We have music that is much, much older than that, and Ben knows so much about it. But some of the songs, some of the things that we sing are from poetry that is ancient, and we continue to speak the words because they continue to be true. But so for some of you, I know the traditional music is really important. You love those hymns because that's how your faith has been formed. You love the sound of the organ because that's how your faith was formed. And we honor that. Here we're trying to do it all at Bloomington Covenant Church, to hold on to tradition but also create new traditions, because other people might experience God in different ways. And tradition is way more than just music. That's just one of our ways. One of the ways we honor tradition is following the church year. We organize our calendar in the church on the church year. So right now we're in this kind of ordinary season, and soon we will begin Lent that draws us to Easter. In the fall we do Advent that brings us to Christmas. We celebrate Pentecost. We don't cover all the saints' days that some of our Catholic brothers and sisters do, but we follow a calendar in the church. There are elements of our worship that maintain tradition for many, many years. And the things that we do in worship are meant to be glimpses of spiritual realities. We talk about sacraments and the covenant as a visible sign of an invisible grace. We put something out there that helps us remember. So we have these rituals. We have rites and sacraments. We have liturgy, which is the order that we participate in worship. We read Scripture out loud, and we read Scripture from the Old Testament and the New Testament every single week. It's part of our tradition, and we want to be in God's Word. Today's text that Karen read for us came from something called the lectionary that guides some of the choices for reading Scripture on Sunday mornings. We have also our own symbols, the things that aid our memory and point to this larger spiritual reality. So our furniture and our furnishings, our windows, and the way that this sanctuary is made is a way to speak to a larger spiritual reality. The idea is you walk into a space and sense that God might meet you there. Some of the things that we wear are traditional and remind us that God is with us. We have symbols of our faith: a cross, a fish, a candle, a dove, grapes, honey, bread. And we have colors in our sanctuary that remind us of the tradition. I don't know if you notice when the colors change in the church, on the communion table, here, on the baptismal, they are the symbols to remind us that we've moved into a new season. We practice the rite of sacrifice, of sometimes fasting or tithing or giving offerings to God. And we practice praying. Sometimes we pray brand new prayers and we make up on our own words, but sometimes we go back to prayers where we participate, where we speak ancient words. Some of you, perhaps in your own practice, use a Book of Common Prayer, praying the same things that the saints have been praying for so long. But one of the most poignant traditions that we're part of is communion. We come to the table. This is a tradition honored for over 2,000 years that Jesus established on his last meal with his disciples. And our tradition is that on the first Sunday of the month and some other special occasions, we gather here. This morning, the other half of our church family will celebrate communion together in the Lakeside Chapel on Round Lake. We follow an established tradition. We follow a pattern that has been passed on by our spiritual ancestors month after month. You could probably say the words of institution yourself. We invite people to the table. We speak an affirmation of faith. We confess our sins. We hear the words of institution, and we watch as the bread is broken and the juice is poured. We pray over those elements, and then we receive them, hearing the same words every month. This is the body of Christ, and this is the blood of Christ. And we pray with thanksgiving. And through this ritual, through these symbols, we share a collective memory. This tradition ties us to the past. It holds us in the present, and it provides a foundation. We will keep on doing this. The way of tradition, for some of you, might be one of your closest ways to connect to God. You love to read ancient texts. You love liturgy and symbol and things that are formal. And so keep on seeking those traditional ways. Maybe sometimes you attend a different worship service where all of those things are there that you don't always find in how we do worship here. But if this isn't your way, if tradition isn't your way, if you like things a little more informal or loose, then still think about trying to embrace something that's ancient. Try to embrace something that might help you discover and see God in a new way. On the back of your bulletin, as it is every week in this series, are a few questions that you might consider about walking the way of tradition. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Lord, for all of the ways that you meet us. And each week we are thinking about different ways that people experience you and encounter you. And we're grateful for tradition. Thank you, Lord, for our spiritual ancestors and how you guided and gave them pictures and symbols and rituals to draw them closer to you that we still observe today. Thank you for our most ancient traditions and our new ones that we establish here together. We pray that no matter what, Lord, that we would find you, that each of us would experience you in new and good ways when we walk this way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.